The theme of this meeting has changed 4 times in the last week. This probably drives the people in the club who are more organized into a frenzy because they never know what the heck we're going to talk about when it comes time for the meeting itself. And I feel bad about that, but the reason why I particularly like having things change is because our group is growing constantly. We're constantly building one success upon another, and things change. And we have to stay light on our feet. For instance, tonight's meeting, it's about introducing the new leaders in our community. And my request is that you listen to them with great dedication. They're making their declarations, not just to us, but through us to the world. But they're also telling themselves what it is that they stand for in this world. And since I'm stepping aside, I'm handing away more and more of Fetishman San Diego to our new generation of leaders. I want you guys to see what's coming up. I want you guys to understand where our wonderful young men are coming from and give them your support. And I'm going to start introducing them one at a time, and they get to say what's on their mind, and then we'll open it up to discussion.
Since it's my first time presenting in San Diego, I'm going to show you what I usually go through. I teach everybody a real quick 45-second stretch that relieves stress and allows you to take everything, all the baggage from the day, and throw it outside of the door. So really quickly, if you could, stand up for me. And it's just both hands straight up towards the sky. Take a deep breath and reach up as high as you can.
It's already cracked.
Right? Okay, and then you take your right hand and you go up a little bit higher. And then you take your left hand and you just rub right here. So some of you know that my background is in Oriental medicine. And this is the meridian that traps a lot of the stress during the day. So real quick, three little, open it up, and then switch over to the other side. Good, breathe again, nice. And then if you hit three again, you can find a spot, actually, where if you hit it, you'll feel it in your throat. And because it just shows how the different, we'll be able to go into it more. Mm-hmm. Then go ahead and have a seat. And then I want you to pay attention to your breathing and notice how it's changed. How every in-breath and out is just a little more relaxed. And with that, I want you to take any stresses, anything that was on your mind, and just leave it outside temporarily. You'll be able to pick it up outside if you want to, but you may notice that when you go out to try to find it, it may not even be there anymore. Next, I want you to think about some of the major stumbling blocks that you've had in your life. Whether that be breakups that lasted entirely too long, self-confidence issues, loss, etc. And what I assert is that the difficulties didn't come with the event itself, but more of our lack of preparation for it. Not just us as gay men are lacking, but just men coming of age in general, is that we don't have the same coming of age waypoints like we used to in the tribal world. We aren't thrown in the desert, thrown in the jungle by ourselves to kill a wolverine and bring back before we are considered men. And I feel that that's what Fetish Men San Diego does for us. And what's really exciting is that we are entering a growth phase. It's already been through startup. It's already been established. Now we're going up into growth. And what makes it exciting is that this is the perfect time where you can come in. There's some. See it over there, if you like. What makes this growth phase exciting is that it's open now. It's established enough that people can come in and add their spin and add their touch to this community without worrying about toppling it down. Because at the beginning, you know, one wrong move and, you know, the entire thing kind of have to build it back up again. Here, we're back to that. So I ask that for all the leaders that are coming up, that you do two things for us. One is you lend us little tasks. If you know that you have a little bit of time, even if it's a few minutes to a few hours per week, you can let us know, and we can get the little things done. For example, what I'm doing is editing these actual audios together so that it's easier, so Papa Tony doesn't have to worry about doing all that. I mean, just small tasks, but when you have to do it over and over again every week, it just becomes a real buzzkill, especially for the leadership types that like to push things forward. The second thing with that is that I ask that you contribute what you love, because when you love something, you don't really, it's not work to do. So when you contribute a talent, you're not really taking. When you're doing it, it actually gives you energy, and it's good for everybody that's involved. The second thing that I ask is that you ask us questions, because for us, that's the best type of feedback that you can give, and it's gentler. With me, if you tell me to do something, you're in a leadership position, you have to do this. All right, in Oriental medicine, we have something called Chinese face reading, and you can read different traits on the face. And what I have here is a strong brow bone with a little divot in the center. That means that I do not do well when I'm told what to do. Even if it's something that should be done, very simple. Could you close the door, close the door on the way out? My brain just goes, fuck you. So, I mean, it's a big character flaw of mine. Questions, it's a softer but very powerful way of influencing. The questions that we ask ourselves on a day-to-day basis show the type of solutions that we get. So with me asking you to ask us questions, it will help us keep a monitor of what needs to be done. Because even though we're not able to respond to all the questions, we might not know the answers to all of them. The ones that keep on coming over and over again tell us what you guys want or need and what we should be focusing on for our time. And so this is a very outside view, because I've only been in San Diego less than a month. But for the guys who have stepped up, you guys are very, very lucky. And I enjoy being around you guys. So thank you.
You're up.
All right. I kind of want to see the pink contrast against my chartreuse here. And actually, I think that works. This flows very well, because I have similar, I think, aspirations that coincide with Damien's, in that I love being a part of creating a harmonious whole. W-H-O-L-E. Yes. Not that. There's nothing wrong with it with the other as well.
Yeah.
And my lines of thinking have definitely been along the same patterns. I've talked a while about wanting to have kind of a volunteer core within the Fetish Men's group. And I think, honestly, it's just been difficult to get anyone to stand still long enough to actually have that conversation, because we are so blessed with so many events. But for any of you who saw the movie Hugo, that's kind of how my mind works. I look at pieces, and I like to see the way they fit together to create something really amazing. So really what my goal in any sort of, whether I always loathe to call it leadership, but I like supporting visionaries, cataloging what the talent pool is that we actually have among the Fetish Men's group, and helping to kind of spread the workload out so it's not four people all the time doing the same thing. And, as we said, people are doing the things that they love, that they enjoy, that they feel that they have a passion for or a talent for. And this group has grown in a very organic way. My life, because of so many things that I do, needs to be structured. So if there's a way to create kind of the scaffolding underneath this beautiful, growing, viney English wild garden, that's the guy that I want to be. And I think that's all I got to say.
At this point, I'm holding him wide open. Don't you have to be somewhere after this?
Not for a while.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I'll just, for some of you who don't know me, I'm just going to reintroduce myself because I've been gone for quite some time. My name is James Rios. I've been in San Diego for the better part of the last 13 years overall, but my job frequently takes me overseas. So I disappear for 4 to 6 months on average a year. So I just got back, been back about a month, and I'm very grateful to be back home because the last day that I was there was not the day that I was supposed to be leaving from Afghanistan. I was supposed to leave a few days later. My staff was leaving on the 28th of May, and 4 hours before their flight, we got shelled one last time. And the last shell landed about 100 yards from our office, and I said, fuck this place, I'm on this plane too. So I said, any problem they have, they can just email me, and I'll deal with it that way. So I came home. I arrived here on the 3rd. Papa Tony was kind enough to pick me up. And then I took 2 weeks with my sir. Some of you may know him. His name is Jack Casey. He has a husband. His name is Michael Franz. They live up in Irvine. So I spent 2 weeks with them, or with just my sir, decompressing. I really needed that to just simply unplug from the world, slowly, at my own pace, reemerge. And throughout the entire time that I was deployed, and lightly, while I was unplugged from the world, I was talking to Papa Tony about, you know, things that he was wanting to do and things that I wanted to do. Because before I left, the one thing, and I don't know if it happened before because I was really new to the fetish scene at that time. One thing that I did right before I left was to spur a gear invasion of a diner. And that diner or restaurant was The Range. So we all came in gear. I believe there's about 20 to 25 of us. And it was a very impressive showing for the very first time, of, as far as I knew, of doing that. And the reason behind that was because, well, I'm a new guy and I have new ideas and whatnot. And I thought it would be a good idea if we brought ourselves into mainstream gay or into mainstream society. Because there's surely there are fetish men who are gay, and there are fetish people who are not gay. And like myself, I was intimidated by the prospect of going to the Eagle. I was afraid I was going to be gang raped in the most horrible way. I wouldn't enjoy it, all that other stuff, just because it was a stereotypical thought that I had in my mind. Well, I got into it, and I realized that is not the case. You know, sure, if you want to get gang raped, hey, you know, knock yourself right out. But the idea of the negative stereotype of what our community was about just withered away, because I was actually now in it, I understood it, liked it, and the idea for these gear invasions was to bring us into the limelight, have people that don't really have an interest in it that they are aware of yet, because that's where I was, and have them inquire upon us, like, oh, they see us out behaving normal, and they are interested in what it is that we have to offer, what it is that we do. And sure enough, at their own pace, they may find that they have kink in themselves. And so they come and be a full-fledged member and participate in everything that we do. Building along those lines, as Damien mentioned and Ian mentioned, and I'm sure Aaron's done a lot of speaking on this, and particularly with LGBT Weekly's expose on fetish, right? Leather. All these things have brought us into the limelight of mainstream gay, and I wish to continue to do that. And there's a number of ideas that I have. I'm sure that most of you all have ideas, and I don't have all the ideas. None of us have all the ideas. But what we're looking to do, Papa Tony had mentioned, just told me that you're going to do this meeting with some people, and you're going to try and solicit new ideas for where we go from here. And as Damien said, we've already done the groundwork to establish. The diesel engine's warmed up. She's ready to go. Now we need direction. I'm not saying that we were going down the wrong direction, but we need to find out, like, what other avenues are there available for us to pursue. And with once Pride is over with, because it's going to be a crazy week, we'll start getting some ideas, and we'll solicit ideas and come up with a game plan, so to speak. And then
see what we agreed to do and where we want to go. Just off the cuff, I think there's three things that I would like to do personally. One, I think, is we have to solve a problem where we have a lack of space that allows us to be erotic. I think a lot of people have this idea, particularly some Europeans that I have met, that they say the leather bar scenes are dead. They're not dying, they're dead. And so, well, that's obviously a problem. If we don't go to our places that where our stomping grounds are, and business sustaining numbers, they're gonna close. So how do we re-energize that feel of going to these leather bars or Levi bars or bear bars, whatever your fetish or whatever venue will host us, if you will, in our gear and whatnot, and see if we can get people to come out in their gear when it doesn't necessarily have to be a gear night. You're just out there enjoying yourself. That's one thing that I think we need to address. And being that there's going to be Leather Week in August, and Aaron, Scotty, Eli, they did a remarkable job getting the funding and the manufacturing done for the Leather Pride flag, which is now thankfully going to fly every year. I think we need to, yes, indeed. And I think the next logical step is to grow Leather Pride Week, bring us into a more fetish, bring our fetishes more into something akin to Palm Springs, you know, something like that here. There's been a lot of leather fetish events happening apart from a fetish week or leather week, like the movie nights and all the other stuff. Well, they're coming to us for what reason? Well, we have the community, so why not bring it up a notch? These are just some of the ideas. There's going to be many, many more. But other than that, I'm glad to be home. Oh, and if you don't know, I became at the pestering, not pestering, the suggest. It was encouraging. Aaron and Ron said that I should go and compete for Mr. Gay Pride. And so I did. And the question, or the only criteria was, what does Gay Pride mean to you? And I was the very first person to speak out of a group of like 10 guys. So I was like, oh, crap. They never scored the first person, you know, well. But I guess my answer resonated with them. And my answer was plain and simple. It was basically, Gay Pride to me means that I have a complete ownership and acceptance of my sexuality. If you cannot do that, then you're not a complete person. You're not a whole person. You're not a whole person. And you want to be a whole person.
With a W.
And you're doing this ownership and acceptance in the face of everything and everyone that tells you should reject it, that you should hide it, that you should be ashamed of it. Fuck that. I'm going to be a complete person. And that's that. And that answer is applicable to anyone of any orientation, any gender identity.
Did you swear?
No, I did not. But that's basically the point. Like, you have to be comfortable and with everything that you are. And for me, it's just being gay. It also allows me to facilitate some of our fetish inclinations to or present them to the normal crowd because, well, I'm going to be wearing this, and I'll be in the parade, and I will be in my leather. The drag queen's going to be decked out in her stuff. Thank you. The drag queen is Diamond Sensations. She works over at Moe's. The lesbian is Terry Nunez. She'll be decked out in her white tux, I think. And I'll think, well, I'm going to go in leather. But the idea is that it will present another avenue for us to represent our fetish community. And there is an idea there already in the works of cross-connecting all the subcultures within the gay community just to bring us more into the forefront where we rightfully should be. So that's it.
Okay, I'm Aaron Duke, and in case you didn't know, I'm Mr. San Diego Leather. And kind of what I talked to Pop Tony about, he wanted me to talk to you about today, is next Saturday at the Leather Realm. Back in May, Amy said, hey, do you want to do like a demo for the Leather Realm? And I was like, sure. And she's like, you want to do mummification? I was like, yeah, sure. And she's like, okay. And she's like, we want you to do like the men's discussion on Saturday. And I'm like, okay. She's like, what do you want to talk about? And I'm like, I don't know. Can I get back to you? So the first thing I do is Papa Tony, they want me to give a men's discussion. What the hell do I talk about? And he said, talk about what you know. And, you know, this past year, I have traveled all over this country. I have met thousands and thousands of people. And so it's kind of like a state of the union for the leather community. But I'm one of those people who I think we spend far too much time talking about what's wrong with our community and not enough time talking about what's right about it. So I'm kind of going to be like the leather Oprah. So let's talk about the good things, the positive things that are happening in our community. And, you know, when I think about the people who are like the leaders of the leather community, I think about people like Guy Baldwin and Race Bannon. And I'm like, who the hell am I to speak for the entire leather kink fetish BDSM community? So stole a Papa Tony idea, and I decided we're going to crowdsource this. So every day on Facebook, I pose a question. And if somebody said, wow, these questions are kind of controversial, they're meant to be. You know, I mean, things like the internet's kind of gotten a bad rep about how it's been the demise of the leather community. But let's talk about what it can do for us and how effective it's being for us. The question today was, what about women? How do we feel about them? Well, guess what? The men all say, this was a wonderful analogy that Tiger gave that I love. It's like we live in this big house. So think of like Downton Abbey. So there's all these private rooms that are like men, women, women, men, whatever you want to do. But then the common spaces are where we come together. So men and women both agree, we all like our private time separate and together, but then we also like the joyous social time together. So, you know, that's kind of what my talk's going to be about next week, and I hope that you guys will come out. And, you know, I'm getting a lot of great information. It's kind of funny, even the difference between here in America and in Europe, how they view things. Because yesterday my question was about brotherhood and sisterhood, and the people in Europe were like, what the hell are you talking about? Let's just gear up and have kinky sex. You know, if you go to a title holder contest in Europe, it's a beauty pageant. The contestants come out, wave at you. At the end of the night, you get a vote. Everybody writes down who they like, and you go home. They don't do all this fundraising and activism and charity work and volunteering. Like, it's totally different there, you know? So it's going to be very interesting to talk about how our community is today and all the wonderful positive things about it. So that's what I got.
Not required.
Hold on, let me look at that. Saturday at 2:30. And then Sunday at 1 o'clock, I'll be mummifying Eli.
Yeah. Now, can you guys see why I'm so happy? See, what is happening as I perceive it? What's underneath all this? We're hearing from very dynamic people, very excited people, very inspired people, very excited, very powerful. These people are coming into their majesty in a big way. what we're doing together as a team is we're supporting them in being the maximum version of themselves, and it's only getting better. You know, we're getting maximum Eli, we're getting maximum Aaron, we're getting maximum Jay, on and on and on. We're doing everything we can to support people who have big hearts. And they're very, very public and community-oriented, generous people. You know, they're giving of their time, and they're getting a big amount of support. I think we can all agree upon that. That one of the rhetorical questions I pose to somebody after an event, I say, how much actual work did you have to do? Almost nothing. It truly has become a tribe in San Diego. I mean, the thing that I want to add to what everybody else is saying is that they're coming from assurance because they know that we're not going to degrade them, we're not going to shame them, we're not going to drag them down, we're not going to sit back and snipe, we're not going to make them do it all themselves, which is what happens when we don't have a big support system. What we have now is you guys. You guys are all just as wonderful as every person that has spoken. You show it in different ways. You express it in your own ways. But the reason why you keep coming back here to this space, why you keep coming to our events, why you keep being supportive, is because you're standing shoulder to shoulder so that they can stand on your shoulders. They're being admirable, lovable, respectable, honorable people, which is what we've needed more than anything else. And after 3 years, I'm very satisfied with who showed up. And so then what I would like is to open it up for discussion. I would like to open it up for any thoughts, any questions. I'm going to go ahead and it's open discussion tonight. You can talk about what we've talked about so far. You can bring up something else. It's the holidays, so we're being very loosey-goosey. For those of you who love structure, this is going to make you crazy. But I'm going to go ahead and pass it around this way. Would you start, please? Introduce yourself and just say anything that's on your mind.
I'm Steve Pyle. I don't really have anything exciting to say about this. I actually feel like I've been here before, so in other cities. So I'm glad to see it's happening.
Good. Very well. How about you, John?
I'm John. I'm really excited to see things kind of growing and more people kind of taking different roles. It's awesome that you feel confidence that the group's in a place where you can kind of hand some things off and let some other people express their leadership. And it's really exciting. There's some really amazing guys that have been picked, and it's awesome, and I look forward to volunteering.
Just and thank you. And just to add to the word picked, it hasn't been so much picking. It's been basically self-selecting. My only task has been to identify and to focus on people. That when I spot talent, I think we can all agree, I tend to focus on people that I see a lot of potential in. And that has been a joyous process. And I'm very, very happy because this is what shows up. Okay. So thank you. Yes?
Hi, I'm Ron. I've been in San Diego since, I don't know, the city was built, I think. I consider myself a leather bear, and I'm going to introduce myself because I'm kind of new to the group. I've known this guy since we were kids. I've had several bear titles, and like I said, I am a leather bear. Kinky motherfucker, too, actually. And I'm looking forward to joining the group here and doing what I can. And my role is daddy. I was the collared boy in past life, so, you know, I've got that expertise. Well, not expertise, but knowledge. So I'm just really looking forward to hanging around with this group and helping the title holders and the big guys. And so that's me.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah, finally.
My name's Mike. I really have nothing to add.
Okay, that's fine. How about you? Yeah. And you're visiting from where?
Washington.
Costa Mesa. And he comes down every week. So, anything? Okay. How about you?
I'm Tom. I like seeing people stand up and give back to the community. Before I started getting interested in this, I used to play gay softball in San Francisco and San Diego, and I always saw that the leather people always gave back, and teams I played for never did. They just bought drinks for each other. And I always wondered about that, and I just thought, you know, then I see what Aaron's traveling all over the country and other people are standing up, and it's pretty cool. I told you that I teach kids also, and I always talk to them about giving back to the community, and this is pretty amazing, so I think it's great. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
How about you?
Yeah, I'm Bill, and it's a good night to be here to see how things are moving on and changing, and especially leading into the holidays, Gay Pride and all that. So I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Very good. All right.
Good evening. My name is Scott. Aaron, I'm very happy to hear the topic that you've chosen to speak about. Certainly there is no end of heartache, bad news, trauma, strife, just bad stuff happening to people locally and globally. So it's great. Thank you very much for not going with the easy or the common topic, and I think it is appropriate to count your blessings and say what is working right, if for nothing else, just to contrast it with what's going on, and then there is hope and there is momentum, and let's put our energy towards the good stuff rather than our intent and energy and attention towards the bad stuff. So I'm very much looking forward to hearing you speak. Thank you.
Very good. And if I could just interject for a second, we're going to go sideways for a second. Sidebar! Could you tell us what happened last night?
Last night was the FMSD hands-on demo night. In addition to Papa Tony's bag of floggers, someone also brought a box of electric toys. That was quite fun, and without permission, I pawed through everything in the box just to see what all was there. I think the first time that some people had seen the items, and certainly the first time that many people had actually got to try them and see how they feel and work. Damien was great at showing some safe and proper technique on how to use them, where to use them, and what buttons to push or what buttons not to push on the E-Stem box. And a great time was had by many. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested, if you're curious, you know, come out for first and third Tuesday of the month. At the Eagle, we never really know what is going to show up other than Papa Tony's fabulous, deep, broad, varied bag of floggers, and occasionally there's some other fun stuff that shows up.
I was the one who brought the electrical.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's more where that came from. And just to interject as well, what happened last night is that I sprung it upon the group. The guys gathered together, I gathered them together, and I said, I'm really not in the mood to, you know, do any kind of leading tonight. I'm going to hand it over to Damien. And he said, what do you want me to do? And I said, follow your heart. I trust you. And I think we can all agree that it went very well. My payoff last night was at the end when everybody's done. Everybody's endorphin out of their brains, and they're in a U shape with their arms around each other and brotherly and happy and cuddly. Well, at the focal point of the U is Damien, and he's an orthodontist dream because he's grinning so big that you can see every tooth in his head, and he just kept doing it over and over and over again, just sparkling. And to me, that's the perfect epitome of how things work when they work well. And it took a huge amount of pressure off of me where I could just have some fun. It was nice. So thank you. So I'm going to walk behind you, if I may.
Okay.
All righty. All righty. Make some room for the big guy. All right. So please, tell us who you are.
My name is Donnie. This is only my second time coming to a meeting, although I have been around in the shadows for several years with Fetishman San Diego, showing up to events and just kind of watching things that happen. I am very happy to see these guys step out and introduce themselves and be representatives for this organization. and helping out and stuff. I come from a background where I did a lot of things at school at Southwestern College and also at City College when I was going to school earlier, that I would help run the LGBT groups over there and started one at Southwestern College several years ago. And I was like the one-man show kind of thing because I had a hard time getting people to help me out. And it's great to see people just step up and join the group and wanting to add a new voice and things. And I'm looking forward to coming to more meetings and associating more with everybody and hoping to help out at some point, too.
Nice. Thank you, Donnie. Okay, so we're going to go sideways one more time because one of our other young stars has arrived today. And what we're going to do is we're going to loop this here. So that the microphone is there. You're going to hang on to this, and we're just recording as we talk. So why don't you talk to the group about what you're doing, what the plans are, how it is for you, and what's coming up.
All right. So for those who don't know me, my name is Jay. Some may know me as Dayton. I host the San Diego Eagles Puppy Night. It's the first Wednesday of every month. I'm here because last night I ran into this lovable man, and he asked me to stop by, which I was more than elated to do. I come not only as a representative of what could possibly be the future of the community, but as somebody who wants to be a liaison with the people who want to be able to pass down certain traditions. I understand a lot of people value traditions within the leather community. I understand that a lot of people have a little difficulty accepting the new changes, but want to retain these certain traditions. I myself am new to the fetish community about a year and a half now, but luckily 1 year ago I was able to have the opportunity to take over and host the puppy evening. When that happened, I had no idea what I was getting myself into, personally. I thought it was something fun and playful, and it has been everything and more to this day.
Throwing the microphone all over the place. There you go.
Oh.
Less clanking while I'm the
But to find out that everybody was at first hesitant, I understood. I was new. I was coming into a community that is very close-knit. There's a brotherhood that is already built and bonds that I've yet to form with many. Luckily, being through Papa Tony and many other people's support, I've been able to continue it on. I was able to go to Palm Springs recently, and I was able to hear feedback from people I have never met in my entire life that said, oh, I hear it's doing good. I hear it's really doing well. And that, to me, as somebody who doesn't necessarily go out and talk about my evening because it's not worth saying. A host can always say how great your evening is, but proof is in when people come by and then word of mouth. That's where it really comes from. And to hear that word of mouth has been traveling, I was extremely excited and more than eager to wag my tail. So, tonight is a 1 year anniversary, and I'm hoping that tonight, when everybody gets together and they can realize that within the last year, I've been able to come into an area that has not been maybe the most supportive, and then I've been able to be embraced and welcomed with open arms to everybody. And I want them to be able to see that tonight, and as a reflection that in 1 year's time, a lot can happen in a small community, especially a place where people tend to become in cliques and they, you know, band together. But it's nice to have that all tonight and be able to celebrate that. And I just want to be able to enjoy that. And I hope to see everybody come out this evening and really support the change and what's happening for the future. Because without a future and without people passing down knowledge or traditions, we really do have nothing. And it's because of people like the fine person to my left, young and eager pups that want to get out there and experience this community and are finally becoming comfortable with themselves, that we're able to have meetings like this that have such a vast variety of people and gentlemen like yourselves. So I should appreciate that, but I hope to all see you there tonight because it's It's my 1 year anniversary, so you better. And it's quite wonderful, so.
One of my favorite parts about it is that Jay is an extremely charismatic leader. When he gets up in front of everybody, everybody shuts up. Not because he's saying, you fuckers better be quiet, but because they want to hear what he has to say. He has that natural leader charisma. And it's a joy to see it in action, and everybody there is delighted to be there. It's not some random bar happenstance. It's his party. And that's been the best part about Puppy Night for this whole year that he's been doing it. It never goes sideways. It's always his party where if something needs to happen, he makes it happen. If something needs to be interesting and vivid, he's the one who instigates. So this is a true leader. And I'm very, 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 very excited to go to the event tonight after this.
So, just a quick editorializing, because you know me, I can never resist. What is really going on is the opposite of boring. Things are vivid, things are interesting, things are accelerating. We're really, really doing very well in this community, in this tribe, in this brotherhood. I had not mentioned this, but I'm in the process of planning the next big tribal, really big deal thing coming up in September. It'll be out at Scotty and Doran's out in La Mesa. It'll be in the daytime. It'll be after the summer heat has, you know, peaked. We're going to be doing the big, big flog swarm. We're going to be doing Ron's gauntlet. We're going to be doing a lot of other things that will be very, very, very intensive and very community building. And it's going to be a whole hell of a lot of fun, and that's something I'm spearheading. So that's my project that's coming up. But in the meantime, we've got a whole lot of really good stuff coming up, as you know. So keeping up is going to be our big task, keeping organized, keeping all the events in order, and that's where I'm going to start asking for more help, because frankly, my brain doesn't work that way. The biggest chore for me every week doing the newsletter is, oh God, I've got to act like I'm organized, because I'm not, not at all. I go into a rash. But okay, so what are your thoughts tonight?
Well, I'm super excited. We're not just setting up new leadership. We're addressing a shift that we're seeing kind of on a large scale in the community, where as we've got the generations coming in of young gay men who grew up as part of this mainstream, it's more and more becoming this, you know, okay, we don't have to worry about having to be in the closet quite as much. We can come out to our close friends. Now we can come out to all of these other people, and it's becoming such an easier thing to do and be. We're starting to see we need to change how things are done, how things are happening. Instead of this being, you know, we are a group that is just a group, and we are the subculture hidden within the subculture, or mainstream. And our leadership is taking their experience and taking this group that started as we are the subgroup within the subgroup, and we're okay with that, and bringing it more as we are an aspect of the mainstream. Mm-hmm. The mainstream is not a single line, it's a multifaceted surface. Mm-hmm. And it's brilliant to see.
Very well said, thank you. Any thoughts?
I'm Kurt, for those of you who don't know. I am kind of a sporadic attendee, because I'm fairly involved in a lot of different things, too, between the sports stuff and the Trevor Project stuff. After you go see Aaron talk, come visit me at the Trevor booth at the picnic. I can't see you talk, because I'll be at the booth, but... I'm
so
yeah. I don't know, I think it's... because I kind of float around, I have sort of an interesting perspective that isn't 100% insider. I still kind of keep a little bit my ears to the outside of what other people think of what we're doing, and... So I try to bring that to the table when I can. I've told Papa Tony this, but I haven't really shared it to the group. I moved here about 9 years ago from Chicago, and was, you know, I enjoyed the leather scene there. It was really vibrant and visible. And when I moved here, it wasn't kind of, you know, the leather thing was kind of invisible in San Diego. And so I kind of fell out of touch with it, just because it seemed like it was just too much work to kind of find people that would, you know, that were into it. And it's just been really, really great to see it come to life again in the last 3-4 years. And it just keeps, like snowballing. So it's fun to see. It's fun to get involved, you know, more and more as I can. So I just, you know, like to congratulate the group on what has really been created.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. I'm in.
I have not yet. Oh.
That's fine. All right. How about you?
Oh, of course. I think we can't underestimate the power of PR. And we would not be here. We would not have started coming had it not been for Papa Tony, who came up to us while we were at the hole one day. And I'm standing there thinking, who is this guy we're drinking with, our friends? And I thought, well, whoever it is, he's going to talk a little bit, and he'll go on, and that'll be all. Well, of course, he talked, and we kept listening more and more. And, well, you know, we didn't quite let him go. We wanted to hear more. And it's because of that that we were here. It was a totally, as far as the fetish community type thing goes, it was not an approach I had before. I, like Kurt was saying, I tried to become involved once before, and I actually felt really, frankly, alienated. And thought, fuck it, who needs this shit? And I didn't bother going back. And I think the PR that Tony has done has been a good lesson, and that has to be exhausting doing that, I know, because, I mean, that was kind of like his job there that day. I mean, I thought, this poor guy's not having fun. He's just recruiting. You know?
oh, it's I've like
seen how that could be possibly different.
Yeah.
So I think that's really, I think that's, the PR is really important and getting it out there, not just at the festival, which I think, you know, the Leather Room is fantastic and all that. I think that's great. And part of that, which triggers the educational outreach thing, not just on things like that, but like the Tuesday night things are great. You know, it's, we can learn things experimenting at home, so it was always, we ever been flogged well at home, but we don't know if we're doing it right, you know. We do what works for us, but maybe there are other things out there. So I think educational outreach is another huge, huge important thing that seems to be going well. So that's good. I think it's headed the right direction. And I, you know, at this point in my life, my filter is not very high anymore. I'm retired. I've nothing to lose. Weight. It's whatever. So, if not thinking game on. Yeah. So, you know, I didn't think it was a good group of people, I wouldn't have been back. So I think that's. Thank you, everybody.
All right. Thank you. Yay.
Now,
just so that everybody understands, it's not work for me. It's vitamins for me. My husband, Dennis, is a hyper-introvert, and I'm a hyper-extrovert. And the way that he's read a book about introverts, and it says that introverts feel drained by being around lots of people. Extroverts feel energized by it. That's just me. I love talking to everybody. It just, it's like, just mainline it. That's all. You know, I love it so much. So, anything you'd like to add?
So I'm Brett, and I've been coming to this group since last August, so it's already going on a year almost, which is amazing. It's been quite an amazing year. I've grown so much. I met Brian in this room,
okay.
In this space, having lots of fun and learning a lot on the Tuesdays. And challenging myself and my learning edges in this space on Wednesdays, and coming out, having fun, going out again, finding community. So I'm excited about what the future holds for this group. I was a little shocked when, Papa Tony sent out a text that some people got around, you know, I'm thinking about stepping back, and I was like, oh no, he's going to disappear, and he's going to be gone, and everything's going to fall apart. I mean, my worst fears started going through my head, like, he's going to be gone, no one's going to show up to anything, everything will fall to pieces. This is awful, right? So I probably am overreacting a little bit.
Could be.
But you know, it's true that there is, the leadership is here, and you're absolutely right about that. And I think it's a great decision that's very strategic to let others have some space to continue to blossom, including myself. I'll continue to do that and look for ways to step up.
Good.
So I will do that, and I'm committed to that. So, but my question for you is, what do you see your role evolving into with this group now that this transition will occur? And are you going to, you know, you're still going to be here every Wednesday, or maybe not, or have you thought about that, or What do you see your role going forward as now?
See, he's starting out with a leading question. Okay, it's like when somebody asks Sheldon on the Big Bang Theory, and everybody goes, oh, here we go. No, once again, I am going much more into what it is that I am good at. I have a natural talent for finding natural talent. I have the ability to zero in on people. And the way that I do it, you guys have all seen me do it, where I start talking to you and I start going, huh. And I start asking leading questions and I start saying things and I'm watching your reactions. And I'm seeing your breath rate, your pupil dilation. I'm, you know, when you take in your breath, like, when I say something, you're like, there's one. And then I start asking more questions. And pretty much I've narrowed down to your nature and to your personality type. I mean, the FBI hires me to find really nice guys. You guys are all really nice guys. No, I have a really good talent for that. Well, what I'm good at is keeping on greeting the new people, the shy people, the unsure people, and helping them fit in and helping them get connected and helping them to find the resources. I'm going to keep doing that. I'm also going to be there as a mentor, as a coach, as a cheerleader, you know, that sort of stuff. I mean, I'm going to be still doing a lot of networking, but I'm not going to be the primary network. I'm going to organize things that suit my tastes, such as the thing in September, because that means a lot to me. I'm going to keep on being me, but in a much less public out in front way. I'm going to keep on being around. I'm going to be, you know, part of things. Like last night was a good example that, yes, you know, I handed it away and it looked like I was entirely, you know, off to myself and having some frolics and good fun with cute boys. But I was actually keeping an eye on things, not as in pass or fail, but as in being supportive if anything needed it. But it wasn't necessary. It was handled perfectly. And today, how much time did we spend on the phone? What we did is we processed afterwards. I wanted to make sure that he got the full measure of, you know, experience from it so that he knew that people were paying attention, that he got the lessons from it so that next time he leads, he does a better job. That's what I'm really good at. I'm going to keep doing that. I'm just not going to be the chief cook and bottle washer. I'm not going to be doing so much newsletter. I will be editorializing for the newsletter, but we're going to be handing away the mechanical portion of the newsletter to other people such as Dan or someone else who might be willing to help because they have strengths that I lack. Like I said, it's creepy to me to do the newsletter. The only reason why I do it is because I know it's important, but it's like giving a bubble bath to a tomcat. I don't like it. Really. So thank you. So please.
Brian, I think to kind of go along with what Brett was saying, when I heard what Tony had shared, I kind of had the same sort of the sky is falling sort of thought go through my head. But to see the people stand up with such confidence and like strong ideas and, you know, really enthusiasm about, you know, what they want, what they're passionate about, where they think this could go. Like, that really, you know, makes me feel at ease and makes me feel even more excited. Like, you know, great things are coming, and there's a lot of people that, you know, want to bring us all forward. So, yeah, it's a great place and a great time. I'm glad to hear living along with it.
And just so that you know, this isn't all of them. There's more guys that are going to be coming and talking to you on the same topic, but it's the holidays. So just be aware that we are really blessed, enormously blessed, and it just gets better and better and better, and more people are coming up in the pipeline. So how about you? Any thoughts?
I truly enjoy the camaraderie, the brotherhood. That's what I like about it. So I just enjoy that.
Good for you. Good man. And thank you for being here. Any further thoughts, James?
Just to touch on what I said earlier and reiterate some points, we have a lot of new ideas here that are going to be coming forward. Not all of them are going to be winners. We're going to make mistakes. Some of us aren't going to like some of the ideas. But, you know, they're all going to be in earnest to advance us. As Pup said earlier, that there's a lot of people that want to adhere to tradition. And I am, a new guy with new ideas. There are going to be other guys with new ideas. but it's not that we're trying to abdicate all of our traditions. You know, we want to hold that because we have to have that guidepost to let us know where we've been and where we're going. So, you know, we're going to try and hold to our roots, what our core thing is about, and that's about eroticism within our fetishes. And we'll try and hold it to our traditions as best as possible, but we also have to evolve, because with any organization, any organism, if you don't evolve, you wither away.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know, we're not going to try and disrespect the people who came before us and who started the fetishes from, you know, the get-go, because they had to create their own protocols, their traditions, they made everything from scratch, and we don't want to just cast aside all that work that was done before us. So we're going to make mistakes, but we'll learn from them and go forward. So. Oh, and one final thing, you know, if you're like on a social network app like Scruff or something, you know, and you're not in gear or you're not flagging or something to that indicate, but they would indicate you have a fetish or a kink, I would recommend that you do that. And because I'm getting some people that are, I've never seen before, and they tend to be secluded, they're a little timid, and they have questions, and they want to know, and that they have an interest, but they don't know what the interest is. Like today, some boy came up on, messaged me on Scruff, and he was like, oh, I'm interested in kink, and I'm like, well, what kind? He's like, well, I don't know. I was like, well, are you into leather, rubber, latex, you know, puppy, master's leg? You know, there's a whole slew. I mean, there's stuff that I don't even know. But he was like, I don't know. It just sounds interesting. So when you get somebody like that, they're asking. They're, you know, so social networking through Facebook or, you know, Grindr or stuff. I mean, I have a Grindr profile, and I'm in my leather. So it's traditionally not where you find the leather or fetish person. It's more the, well, at least in my experience, more the trendy people. But there I am, and I get questions asked. You know, I try and help as best I can, and try and entice them to come to the meetings.
So. Just thank you. And what I would add, my request, is that you name drop Fetishman San Diego, whether you do it all as four separate words or as all one word, doesn't matter. We're Googleable either way. But just say, I'm a member of Fetishman San Diego, that can start a conversation. And it also causes people to Google it and say, huh? You know, because I've designed it to be a very enticing trap. It won't catch everybody, but the ones that it catches are the next generation of the people in this room. So please do that kindness. Thank you. Please.
I'm good. Just turn the puppy eye.
Damn right. I'll be there.
I'm Michael. I've never been around these meetings before. It's kind of tag along with Jayden. But I've been involved in the leather community.
Leather happy part.
I'm not sure what else to say to you guys, though.
Cool.
Good.
Yeah. Good. Please, Timothy.
I'm Timothy. It's all been said tonight. I will reiterate what James said. I do a lot of meeting people on social networking sites. And I have to tell you, what he says is very true, because I've got, even like on Grindr, where you don't get a lot of profile room, I have, you know, what my kink is, and that I'm willing to answer any questions presented. And I get a lot of people who are really curious that will contact me just to get questions answered, and it's the same way on Recon and on Scruff. I'm on both of those. And I have to tell you, I've got a boy that I've been training for the last couple of months that I found on Scruff, he found me on Scruff, that would never have found us, and he's the most naturally kinky, submissive boy I have ever seen in my whole life, and he's having the time of his life. I'm having the time of my life with him. And it would have been totally lost. But I, again, am real open on there. And I'm like, you know, you can ask me anything. He had a real desire to learn. No experience. Had no idea what he wanted, what he was interested in. And I weed out a lot of these guys by like, well, tell me what you're interested in. And they can't really articulate it. And you can kind of get the guys that are bullshitters and the guys that are really just too embarrassed to kind of talk about it. And when Joe and I first got together, one of the times I was like, well, what do you like? And he's like, well, honestly, I don't know. So, you know, I pulled up the computer and attached it to my TV, and we watched a little Bound Gods.
Good choice.
So, it's a good choice. So there's a little bit of everything in that. And we get to the fisting movie, and he looks at me and he goes, oh my God. He's like, you know, I've heard about that, but I didn't think it was nearly as erotic as that. And I've never seen anybody so excited about an idea of something and I've never seen it. But you, I hadn't thought about that before. You get a lot of these guys who just can't articulate it because they haven't been around it. And they like the idea of some of the things they've heard, but they just haven't seen enough or experienced enough or talked about enough. And I talk to a lot of guys and get them to look into fetish men, to look into coming to the meetings, just so they can meet other people. And Joe thought he was, like, isolated all out there in the world. He had all these little kinky feelings, and nobody else shared them, really. And then he met, like, you guys, and he's really starting to bloom and come into it. He's freaked out mostly by getting positive responses to who he is as a person, because he's always been taught that who he is as a person is a shameful thing, because he likes things that are outside of the mainstream and things that are gay. And I mean, you get first that outside of the mainstream just being gay, and then you're outside of the gay mainstream by being kinky, and he's finding out that there's a whole world of people that celebrate who he is, and it kind of freaks him out. And sometimes he just is like, has to take a little pause and go, you know, they really, it's okay to be who I am. And I'm like, of course it is. And you have to learn that. And so, as an older gay man, I'm trying to tutor that in as well as follow the other stuff. But, dude, put it out there who you are. If you've got a social networking website, you don't have to go into it. You don't have to say, well, you know, on Monday nights, I really like to do this. But just say, you know what, I've got this background, and if you have questions about it, ask me. Because if I don't know anything about what you're interested in, I can bet you I do know somebody that does, and I can hook you up. So, that's all I have to say.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Anything you'd like to add?
Okay, Mother Oprah's back. Yeah. And you get a card. You get a card. You get a card.
Where's my father under my seat? Forget.
Times are hard, kid.
Story on the world.
Back in October of 2011, my partner and I decided to move to San Diego. And, of course, I posted on Facebook, and all my friends across the country were like, why are you moving to San Diego? There's no scene in San Diego. And I was like, well, we're not moving there for the scene. But I was like, if there's not, I'll make one, you know? So,
no one makes a scene like you.
So, we moved out here, and to my surprise, there is quite a scene here. And the funny thing is, being able to travel around the country this year, people are like, what the hell's going on in San Diego? I'm like, yeah, there's a lot going on. And I meet people who lived here before, and they're like, what's going on in San Diego? When I lived there, there was nothing going on. I'm like, well, come back, visit. I mean, we had some guys from Germany come last year, and we made quite an impression on them. They've made another trip. They're coming back in October just to come to San Diego because they had such a great time. And the thing about San Diego that makes it so special is the people.
Yeah.
And, you know, like this weekend, I was at San Francisco Pride, and Glenda Ryder, who is the producer of Enzel, she comes up to me and she goes, there's going to be an event going on in November, and I need you to host a cigar social. She's like, you throw one hell of a cigar social. And I was like, okay, you got it. Somebody from Phoenix was there, and they're like, we're planning this big, elaborate fundraiser, and we want you to be the SoCal representative. Okay, you got it. Mm-hmm. It's not like this in other communities. And anybody who is puts themselves in the public spotlight, such as Papa Tony, is open to criticism and everything from anybody around. But I will tell you this. This man supports idealistic, up-and-coming leaders. Because anytime I say, I'm going to do this, we need to do this, I think we should do this, never does he say, oh, I'm going to crush your dreams, you can't do that, that'll never work. He's always been positive and supportive and said, let's fucking go for it. And then afterwards, we talk about it. What was good? What was bad? What can we do different next time? You know? I mean, that's what it's all about. We aren't doing the typical shit that everybody else around the fucking country is doing.
Good.
Yeah.
I mean, I Atlanta Pride weekend, I got a call from Mr. L.A. Leather, who was in Atlanta, and he said, you really need to be here. And I'm like, why? He's like, everybody's talking about you. Everybody wants to know what's going on in San Diego. What? I mean, like, what the hell is this fetish man in San Diego? Why are you guys having all these events? And I thought it was funny that Papa Tony had written an article a couple months ago and said, you know, we have about 9 events a week. And, of course, Race Bandit picks this up and says, well, I'd like to disagree, but I may just be biased. We really do have 9 events going on every week. There's things to do every single day if you want to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you for sharing. Nice. That was a preview of what he's going to be talking about. You know? He's got a lot more. He's got some amazing stories. So please, and just as a quick interjection before I can turn you loose, Sir Michael, think about it. This is Mr. San Diego Leather, but he's been carrying himself as if he was International Mr. Leather, you know, you name all of the international titles, he's been carrying himself as if he had all of them. And he has a bright, shining star among us, and this has been an incredible year, and it's not even over yet. So let's hear it for our Aaron.
Aaron has reset the bar. Mm-hmm. Quite fine. My name's Michael. I've been in San Diego for about 12 years now. I first hit the leather community in San Francisco about 1974, 75, and 76. That was a time that was very new age, leather, hippie, urban, aboriginal, tribal. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I kind of cut my political teeth working with Harvey Milk on his first campaign, and then later in the 80s with ACT UP. I'm highly opinionated, but I'm bendable. I mean, you can change me. I guess it's been about a year and a half ago. I moved out to the desert for about 20 years and just had not a whole lot to do with any community except for my town of 200. Then came back to San Diego to go to massage school and study oriental medicine. And then about a year and a half ago, Tony cornered me at Kurt's fundraiser barbecue. He towered over me. Convinced me. And I've just been kind of here ever since. And I guess the biggest advice I can give anybody, Aaron has this in spades. Tony is a master of it. Enrollment. Mm-hmm. One of your biggest leadership skills is you're passionate about something and you enroll people. You enroll other leaders. You enroll leaders at all different levels. Because you can't do it all by yourself. So it's a constant job of enrolling people to help you to take care of things so you don't have to take care of it, and eventually to take over. And that's the best thing a leader can do is develop leaders, I think. The end.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike.
Okay. I've been avoiding this all night. I know.
Tell us your name.
My name is Jay. Where do I start? I've been around the leather community for quite some time, off and on. I actually was here in the Navy when Wolf was still active. I don't want to bore you with the whole story, but basically, I've heard a lot of things in this room about community, helping people out, giving back. Those of you who actually have known me for a while would actually... I would be the one hiding in the corner. There's actually a couple of people here. Aaron here actually talked me into running for the title of Mr. San Diego Legal. And if you had asked me that last year, I would have just laughed in your face and just turned around and walked away. But a lot of people, what I realized, a lot of people here in San Diego You helped me actually get out of my comfort zone and be okay with who I am. So after the contest, I started coming to these meetings, and then I realized, hey, I'm not the only kinky motherfucker out here. So, but there was no Coke bottles and tomatoes and stuff being thrown at me. So I'm like, okay, this is pretty cool. So the word leader to me has always been like, I don't want that. That seems like work. My thing is to give back any way I can, because this group has helped me so much within the past months. So if that's just me showing up and, you know, talking to one of you guys, if you have a question about something, let me know. I just want to give back. Call it mentorship. I'm not the go-to guy for everything. If I don't know it, you know, like Tim said, I'll look it up. I'll find someone to, you know, hook you up with that person so you can go and do your thing. Just clean up when you're done. I'm not sure what else to say, but I've been fortunate enough to meet someone in this group. He's not here right now. He's not here tonight, but I actually collared him when I came back from IMO. So, to me, with everything that I've been through in the past couple years, me taking a break from the leather community and me coming back out, just this year, this has been a continuous journey for me that I want to continue to do. I want to see where it goes, and you guys have been a big part of it.
All right. Thank you, Jay. You're up, boy.
Okay. Well, what I want to do...
Tell us your name.
My name is Bob. what I would like to do is basically just thank each and every person in this room and all the people who are regulars who aren't here tonight, just because everybody can't be here every night. That's not a problem. And especially Aaron and James and Jay and Scott for having given this man exactly what he wanted. He's all, you know, sure himself that things are going to be great and everything's going to be wonderful, but he wasn't so sure everything was going to be great a while ago. He was feeling, he thrives on meeting people and, you know, all that, but he's been running this thing for 3 years all by himself. Not all by himself, but, the stress gets to him occasionally. And so to have you guys come up and take some of the load off and allow him to do exactly what he always said he wanted to do, which is, you know, build something and have it go on and have other people come on and, you know, and pick up the mantle and run with it. All I can say to you guys is thank you very much, because he deserves getting his wish. He's put his heart and soul into this organization and the whole community and trying to bring it together for a long time. And you guys are proving that he was right. So, and on a very, very selfish, incredibly selfish note, maybe I'll have a little more time.
When I started the group, I was in crisis mode. I was metaphorically bleeding from every bodily orifice for about 3 years. I was going nuts. I couldn't stand what had been happening. 2 years before I started Fetishman San Diego, I went to the Mr. San Diego Leather Contest, and there were a total of 17 gay leathermen in the entire building during the contest, including the contestants. The year after that, there were 13, and I know because I counted. There were a lot of very, very, very supportive straight people. But it broke my heart that I couldn't find my community anymore. If I showed up in gear at the Eagle, I'd be the only one in gear. There'd be a bunch of sad drunks, and they'd be looking at me like, I wonder what he's up to. You know, and you know, and then you go and you put it back in, you know, you put the gear back into the closet and it magically shrinks over the years, you know, from disuse. But I could tell that there was something really wrong, but I didn't know how to get around it. And I put everything I had into thinking. My brain was going for years trying to figure out, what do I do? Because I knew I wanted to do something. But what happened, what was magical, it didn't come from me. I just completely blanked on his name. But there was a gentleman on recon, Boots SD Jeff, that's it. And he said, you know, we were talking about, you know, we don't have enough guys out there. We need a community. And suddenly he said, well, why don't we have a gear night at the Eagle? Oh, boy. You know, that's a great idea. I said, let's do that thing. And so we got in contact with everybody that we could find in San Diego and got spanked for it because Recon thought for sure that we were spamming because we sent too many people the same invitation that we were trying to sell goods and services. But what happened is I forget exactly how many guys actually showed up. I have a picture from that first event somewhere in here. I think, is that it? No. I'll go flipping through and then I'll pass it around. My request is that you not keep changing the picture on it because we tend to lose our place. There's a lot of pictures that go through. We can do that after the event. But the point was is that I went around and I signed up people for an email list. I had no idea what to call it. I had no idea what the hell to do with it. All I knew is that this was an opportunity that should not be missed. The other guys, all their dream was, let's have a gear night, and then their dream was dead. That was it. Jeff didn't want to do anything after that. I said, do you mind terribly if I start up a new email list? I'll pass this around. But this is our first event. Okay, pass it around, please. Thank you. It's not a lot of people, but it was a start. Most of those people you've never seen since, and that's okay. There's been a lot of turnover. There's been a lot of change. But what's happened is that we have found what I call the golden core. They're in this room. The golden core are the people who are the true believers, the people who get stuff done, the people who have the biggest hearts, who are the most community-oriented, the people who hunger for brotherhood and connectedness. These guys were hungering for gear, and that's fine, and that was a fine dream, and it worked. What I was hungering for was far bigger, and that's why I worked so hard. I'm not kidding. I have spoken face to face with over 4,000 strangers in the last 3 years, one-on-one. You guys have seen me in action. I haven't been doing it so much in the last 2 or 3 months. That's fine. I've needed a little bit of a break. I'll probably kick back into it when I'm not quite so busy. What I'm saying to you is that the reason why I did it is that I've been doing market research to find out what actually works. I've been doing market research because my theories are nice, but they're a little esoteric. I wanted to find out what people actually wanted, what people really wanted to hear, what their hearts hungered for. And that's why I started filling up the calendar. You'll notice that our calendar has a lot of stuff on it that happens on a regular basis. I did that. And the reason why I did it, and that's one of the discussions we're going to have about what can we get rid of in order to put in something that feeds a better need. So we'll be looking at that as time goes by, looking at the calendar and rearranging, because right now it's pretty damn full, and it doesn't leave a lot of room for more. So we're going to do some weeding, I think, as time goes by. But the intention behind all of this is to feed the need as it changes, because if we do things that are applicable 3 years ago, we've already lost. That we need to come up with powerful, passionate, new things often to keep it fresh and to keep it alive. Because I don't want to head for the tar pits any more than anybody else does. You know, this is an important laboratory experiment. Fetishman San Diego has been designed from the very beginning to be a laboratory experiment, not just on behalf of San Diego, but on behalf of the entire planet. And that sounds really arrogant, sounds really cocky, it sounds really wild-ass, but it's true. What we're doing, these other cities are studying desperately because they want really badly to have what we have. What they don't understand is in order to have this, you have to throw everything away and start over again. You cannot fit it into the standard box. It doesn't work. We are crowdsourced. Someone comes up with a beautiful idea, someone grabs it and carries it further, other people come and help, everybody gathers together and makes it happen, and it succeeds because we're all dedicated to the same damn thing, which is kindness, brotherhood, affection, connectedness, and having a happy life and a very playful time. And frankly, hopefully you guys are all getting very laid, too. But where this is all going is that the experimentation continues, but we're no longer in any sort of desperate place. We haven't been since about the first month. At that point, I had to let go of being in crisis mode, because we're not in crisis. We're not in trouble. We're not teetering on the edge of the crevasse. We're sailing with the Eagles. We're up there with the space shuttle. We're doing really well. We're not wrestling around in the mud and the rocks at the bottom of the canyon. We're really thriving. And that's why we now have the space to keep opening it up. And as time goes by, it's going to get opened up more. Who knows where we're going to be? I can't predict. It's something that we're all creating together now. It's a huge, huge, huge cooperative effort. We are an organism. It changes, the faces change, people come in, people come out, people only visit once a year, but they're always guaranteed a good result. That's powerful. That's really nice that people say they'll bring their friends. I do market research continuously. If I go to the harness party, and if I'm not busy having fun playing, I do market research. I go up to complete strangers. A lot of the times I've met them 5 or 6 times before, and they'll say, Tony, don't you remember me? It's what happens when you get old and overwhelmed. But a lot of the new people, I'll say, how did you find out about this event? And I'll say, oh, my friends here brought me. I say, and I look at their friends and I say, am I a good guy? Oh, yeah. I say, do you like the newsletter? Oh, fuck yeah, it's a great newsletter. Would you like to be on the newsletter? Oh, of course, they're on. But the reason why the attendance at Harness keeps going up at this kind of angle every month, and believe me, I get the door count every month. People check in with me. The reason why is because people are telling their friends. They are vouching, which is what we've always done when we're at our best in the kink community. We vouch for each other. We vouch for what works. We say, yes, this is worth your energy and your efforts. This is a really good excuse to get the hell away from your computer. What is changing? What is growing? Is it now more and more people are taking ownership of their ability to invite more people into this tribe? It's not just me going around saying, would you please, I'll be your friend. It's all of us saying, this is a good thing. And that's why so many people sign up. It's happening far more organically than I predicted, and I couldn't have expected this. It's exploding. It's just all over the damn place. So we're coming from strength to strength to strength. And that's what you've been hearing tonight in this room. You've been hearing magnificent, majestic people who are confident, who are reaching their peak potential, and they haven't even hit their limits yet. There's no telling where we're even going to be 6 months from now, much less a year. My prediction is it's just going to get better and better and better. And thank you for listening to all this. I'm very excited. Anybody have any further thoughts? Yes, James.
I have a request.
All right.
While I was overseas, this group was kind enough to do a group hug with the iPad.
With him on the iPad, yes.
I would like to, before we leave, have a group hug and just